That was crazy.
All right, you guys, welcome to A Course in Miracles. Kind of tempted to do something wild because there's only four of us.
Yeah, what happened to him? Chocolate, she's always here. Did she say she wasn't coming?
And Albert. Albert loved this meeting, and he had something, a personal emergency, and he says, I'll be back in a couple weeks, and that was last year.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So, Tim, I wanted to ask you a question. You asked for our help, and I didn't get an answer in my own mind as whether we gave you any kind of help that you wanted.
What sort of help did I ask for? Do you recall?
You said the term I used was you wanted to be intimate with your wife, intimate, and it wasn't panning out, and you were afraid you'd done something wrong, and you didn't know what it was, and if even if you did, you didn't know what to do to fix it. That's essentially what I got.
Sounds about right. And no, I haven't achieved what I would call intimacy or a return to intimacy. I understand that is my reading of the script into my own life.
Tim, is there something in front of your microphone? A book or a coffee mug or something else? You're strangely quiet.
Yeah,
what's going on is I'm running a generator because I've been without electrical power for about a day and a half.
Huh.
We had an ice storm. It brought down a whole lot of tree branches on top of power lines, and transformers blew up. So what you're hearing is my microphone muting.
Yep.
The sound of the generator running in the background.
Got it.
I'll mute myself as often as possible.
You know, we can't hear the generator. It's doing a great job. The noise filters are doing great. We can't hear the generator.
But you're not as loud as you usually are.
Yeah. And they told
move
me
up to the mic.
Yeah, I can move up to the mic.
That seems better.
They told me I was doing okay.
Can I make a comment about intimacy? If you say intimacy very slow, that's what women think of it as. And I think a lot of men too. And you almost just said it for yourself just a second ago, into my life. Intimacy, if you pronounce it correctly, is N-to-me-see. And that's what women like for anyone to be interested. That's why women get along with women, because that's what they want to talk about a lot. Whereas I'm not sure men are as comfortable with that as women are. And basically, I guess what I'm trying to say is when you start a conversation with your wife, make sure it's about her, not about all your interests so much as her interests. And I think that Andrew says something similar when he talks about stopping a conversation in a way that not coming back in a conversation as a reason why you're doing what you're doing, but come back as a conversation as and how what's your perspective of that?
He says, "Tell me more." What?
Yeah, he says, "Tell me more."
Yep, turns it right around. The ego wants to fix things and take charge, and what's really called for is to answer the call for love on the other side. Seek to understand before you are understood. But I got another question for you, Tim. I was listening to some of the backtracks. You know, I try to go through all of the recordings, and I'm quite far behind. But I listen to them while I'm out doing whatever. And you asked a really great question some time ago. And there's only four of us here, so it's hard to put you on the spot with a small audience. So I think you might take my challenge. Teach us, if you will, the difference? I mean, why is a miracle not magic? You ask that question.
For me, a miracle is a correction of a misunderstanding.
Mm-hmm.
Magic is uncreative use of a change in thinking. Magic is related to ego, in my mind. It's here. Whereas the first is tier one. We talked about this dynamic last night. Brian brought it up. Ross, you were present, in which we talked about relationship. I'm not sure.
Sure, that's good. That's not what I'm after, because I thought it was so worthy, and we were you know, popping along in the meeting, doing all sorts of other stuff, so I don't know if we gave it enough attention. I thought, really wonderful question. Ross, what's magic in A Course in Miracles?
What is magic? Okay. So, any kind of cure for a sickness is one thing. Was one example.
Okay, and why would sickness or a cure for sickness be considered magic in A Course in Miracles?
Well, so getting to more broader strokes. So everything is happening inside the mind, the one mind. Mm-hmm. So that one mind and one ego mind. Okay. So the ego mind is trying to come up with all kinds of mechanisms for remaining separate and special, and inviting all sorts of idols and all sorts of different complexities to confuse the mind from the real thing, which is one thing. There's only one thing. So anything to distract it, for example, sickness.
Yep.
So what kind of magic does the ego come up with? Just about everything is magic. I mean, wow, it's all illusion and magic and sleight of hand, special relationships, the world. It's all a sleight of hand, manufactured thought system that the ego, one mind, has come up with to distract its little separated parts from the fact, the truth, that it's one.
And those distractions include distractions of happiness.
Right.
Promises of perfection, promises of healing, promises of love, happiness, charm.
Another body.
Safety. Another body. When you manipulate the world from the outside and expect the outside perceptions to change you inside, it's magic. What's a miracle? Hey, Don. Or you can't talk?
I can talk. Hi.
I wonder if you were doing what I did one year, is give myself a haircut. I got a little too short on one side, and then I got a little shorter on the other side. And I went and shortened the first side more before I knew it. I was bald.
No, it was a tiny bad idea to cut my hair.
Cool. I love it. How fun is that? Make a change.
I did it myself, and it took a long time.
I got myself some clippers but I got down to a half and a one.
Yeah.
Those are nice.
Oh, yeah.
Then you got just like this little fuzz.
And then you can't go wrong because it's all just like mowing the lawn. When you're done, you're done. There's nothing else to cut. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the joys of cutting men's hair short. So what is a miracle in A Course in Miracles then? Well, first let's ask Don about magic. Don, do you know A Course in Miracles uses this term magic, and do you know what it means in A Course?
Yeah, I think helpful to have Ross have talked about it, and you too. Because, you know, I had magic kind of narrowed down to some sort of, you know, a pill or something like that. And yeah, it's anything that you think is going to cure your dis-ease, your unhappiness, or that's going to make you happy, or that's actually even believing in stuff that's going to make you unhappy.
Well done.
You know, so it's everything that you're looking to something of the world to make a difference in your state of mind.
You got it, buddy. Well done.
Yeah. That's interesting. Well done. That's helpful.
You bet. You bet. That's why I love that Tim asked it months and months ago. I thought, well, we spend more time on this. Okay, so that's a great description. Now, what is a miracle in A Course in Miracles?
Well, I'd like to say something.
Well, take the stage, unless Luann's going to jump in.
My ego's always ready to, you know, get on stage.
Well, bring it.
A miracle is when there's nothing in form to explain a sense of peace and well-being that you just—it's of the mind. It's a return to the holy mind that then just transforms. I think it your awareness is totally encompassed in spirit, so that everything that's of the world, the body, all that stuff, just vanishes from one's awareness.
Now that sounds like a holy instant. That sounds like the result. That sounds like the result.
Oh.
Right?
Okay. I'm open.
Yeah. So let's go back to magic for a moment. What is magic? Luann, tell us what magic is in A Course in Miracles.
Well, I don't normally think in terms of magic about the Course in Miracles, although I have heard the word.
You heard of magic thoughts.
Right. What I would think it would be some kind of a change of thought that brings you closer to knowing God.
What's a magic thought?
Oh, I thought you were talking
I think you described
about
a miracle. You were talking miracle.
I thought we were doing miracles.
Yeah, I'm flipping back and forth.
Okay. A magic thought is thinking that you are in charge of how your life goes.
Okay.
In other words, you think if you go get a good job, you're going to be happy. You think if you get sick, you're going to be not happy. You
just change the world and you'll be happier.
Right.
Okay, that's good. What's a miracle?
What I said before was something that comes from giving up thinking you're in charge and waiting for a moment when you're doing what the Holy Spirit asks you to do.
Yeah. It can't be a matter of waiting. That would be the spiritual ego saying you have to earn the result that Don described. So we need to work on this a little more. So, Tim, what is a miracle in A Course in Miracles?
A miracle is a correction in thinking so that no longer thinking in error. We no longer see ourselves dualistic. We now see ourselves as one. We see ourselves as the extension of the mind of the Creator. That's a miracle once the miracle has taken place, once that correction and understanding has taken place, then there's no longer any need for anything else. There's no longer any need for suffering. There's no longer any need to have something first in order for happiness to be present, or to avoid something in order for happiness.
Yep, that's really true on the effect side, and the healed mind is free of such limits. But I want to get more practical. I want to get magic and miracle down to the similar terms. Because this is how it can be a helpful learning. When we get too big, right?
If you want to go magic, Arthur C. Clarke, the inventor of the telecommunications satellite radar, and 2001: A Space Odyssey, said any technology sufficiently advanced from our own will be described as being magic.
All right. So, Ross, tell me what, again, talk to me about magic in A Course in Miracles. And what I'm going to do, I'm just going to have us continue to work this as we get simpler and simpler and more practical. Because this is... Miracle versus Magic is a wonderful teaching, a great way to get your hands on ego versus spirit, on truth versus falsity. I just love it. So let's just stir it around a little more, since we got this little group to work with. Ross, tell me about magic in some other simple terms. I mean, the Course says time is magic even. It means magic thoughts.
Yeah, so back again to, global type stuff, is that it's sleight of hand, it's illusion, it's deception, it's perception. All of these things are constructs that we have with the one ego mind constructed for a very purposeful reason.
Right.
So what the Course text tells us is it's a very complete thought system, a very complete ego thought system that has its own logic. It's just happened to be insane and not true. We've made it real by concocting, five senses and a brain to interpret it all.
Mm-hmm.
So we've managed to make a very airtight prison, although
yes.
It's not God type.
Yeah, good.
Our saving grace.
Good.
Wait, can I just
magic prison we've made?
I love what you just said, Ross. When you said we made a brain,
yes,
all that since to. We concocted all this to support
yes.
that magic is reasonable and that is real. I never really thought about it that way before. That really adds the salt to the soup. It really makes it.
Yeah. When you start realizing how perfect we concocted this prison, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful prison because we've got the five senses that support it. We've got this brain to interpret it and judge and interpret everything. It's perfect. Unfortunately for the ego, we have the universal inspiration called the Holy Spirit, who can get in there and say, guess what? This isn't God type. I'm going to throw in a miracle right now, and you'll see that this concoction that you've fabricated isn't real. And you can start to see it with science. If you start looking at science, and you start to go, wait a minute, if I close one eye, I don't have depth perception. If I put on silly glasses, then I don't see colors. None of this is actually concrete. It's just what we interpreted. There's a hole in my eye. The brain is filling in the rest of that image. Wait a minute. And then on and on and on. It's just concocted bunch of interpretation that we decided to believe as a universal bunch of separate parts.
Those become a whole self-referencing thought system, very, very well planned, very, very well executed, and it continues to prove itself true. It's just not true. Luann.
So in simple terms, and then there's a number of ways I could say it, but there's wrong thinking and there's right thinking.
Mm-hmm.
You could say there is, on the one side, you can say there's truth. And there's illusion.
Mm-hmm.
If we're going to put it down into simple words so we can compare them and not make it so many words that it gets confusing.
Yep. And so what makes an illusion a good illusion?
Lots of complexity. Yeah.
I mean, a good illusion. What's a good illusion?
Look over here, call something over here is how it's actually going on. A little sleight of hand, a little. The old disappearing thumb trick.
A good illusion seems real. Mm-hmm. Seems like it really happened.
And there's no perceived evidence to the contrary.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of fantastic. Or it becomes normal because it's the way things have to work. It's magic because from the perspective of truth, It is trickery. It's false. It's not actually doing what it appears to do. It's not actually water. It's a reflection on a flat surface. It's not what it appears to be. And so that is an illusion. And magic in A Course in Miracles is it something that you perceive. Anything you perceive, whether it's in your mind or it's out in physical space, that it has the ability to change how you think. Do you see the circle? That's magic.
One of the things that always struck me, and it's from Adya, is that the ego knows yourself better than you know yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so as soon as you think you're making progress in A Course in Miracles, it's going to trick you into some kind of, oh, well, this is how the spiritual thing really works. Most likely, it's a trick of the ego.
You bet. Spiritual ego?
Magic trick of the ego. And it's saying that, oh, if you put on your white robes, then you're making progress. If you do this other thing.
Go vegetarian.
Get into it. You actually don't know until you actually wake up. You really won't know all the tricks that you have fallen for that you thought were very spiritual. They seem so spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
But you're still not getting it.
Now it is
things that I try to keep in mind as
yeah
I
it's good
magic it's, tricks
you must revisit these basics, this beginner's mind. So what then, what's a miracle if magic is that out things outside you influence you and now you're a victim and you have to live with it, even though it might be something good like healing or like a little bit of respect that people would notice you and what you did and what you said and how hard you worked. And that's what you need in order to be happy. Outside comes inside.
Well, isn't the problem here that we're separate? So it seems to me like a miracle would be anything that makes you realize that you're one with someone.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually one with everyone.
Yes, certainly true. More practical, more simple, more practical. What's a miracle?
So to me, it's, I mean, what's been happening with me is just like coming up with the toolbox and saying, no, you know, my perception is saying that this is what's going on, and staying with the toolbox items, for example, like staying above the battleground and seeing, wait a minute, let's just take a breath here and see how this plays out, because my perception says doom and destruction, for example. But waiting for that truer perception, it's, you know, it's still in the dream.
Yes, but still in the dream.
Truer perception of, wait a minute, that's not what's really going on. I actually don't know. The judgments that I've made, the interpretations that I've made, probably are not correct.
Mm-hmm.
Waiting for that, let's say, miracle to come along and shine a little light on more of the real world, more of the trueness of how much I didn't know. Not necessarily, you know, going full, you know, into heaven.
Yep.
But realizing, changing the perspective and going, perspective, the perception.
Yep.
That yes, I was wrong. Yes, I did not know. Yes, my judgment was wrong. Yes, my perception was wrong. All of these things were wrong. I still don't really know what.
Yes, that's the level of miracle works.
Yes.
No, if you don't have a problem, you will not have a miracle. Miracles are corrections. They're corrections for incorrect thinking.
Yeah.
No problem, no miracle.
Judgments, interpretation, and perception.
Yep.
Usually are all wrong.
Yep.
Unless you're aligned with the universal.
And then does a miracle come about by stepping back from our certainty about the problem? Or certainty about being right?
Yeah.
It's not a miracle. It's almost like you can't make a willing, you can't make a miracle happen, but you can be willing, you can
Isn't it true that we get this thing that says our job is basically to do nothing? I think if I do nothing, that's when I have a miracle happen. When I open myself up to saying, I know this isn't right, I want to know what is right, and then just let it go.
To really do nothing, when you do something with every second and every thought and every breath, your ego's busy doing something in this world. Even when you're trying to meditate, you can be very busy trying to meditate. To really do nothing, as that section in the chapter 18 says, you have to not do your ego. And because you're completely drunk on doing the ego by default, even trying to be still can be the spiritual ego and occupy your mind. So indeed, it's an undoing.
Yeah, something that been coming to me the last day or two, you know, I have a relationship every day, 24/7 relationship with Michelle. And We seem to have this. It's scripted. It's like going to a movie. It's like going to a play where people actually have their scripts in their hand. Mm-hmm. They're sitting on chairs and they're doing their act with a script on their hand.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, it seems to me that sometimes I will say something to Michelle that I think is neutral or even harmonious or pleasant or like cooperative or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And what I witness in reaction seems sideways. Like, and I'm wondering if my deeper commitment than the one I pretend to have when I engage her, I wonder if my deeper commitment is conflict.
That would take some self-inquiry.
What?
That would take self-inquiry with the Holy Spirit as a guide to think about your interaction with Michelle and let go and let go and let go of your personal interpretations and see if there's something underneath it. See if there is an underlying angst that you feel right now, and you took advantage of the situation to try to get your digs in. But it's not going to be a past episode at all. It's going to be a current attitude.
Yeah. Well, it seems I want to make the analogy of the way I'm thinking about it. Just came to me. It's kind of like, let's say that you, in everyday life, you have really bad breath.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're relating to somebody, or BO, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You're relating to somebody, and you have no idea you have BO or bad breath. But their reaction to your interaction with them is, you know, to withdraw or to communicate in some way a feeling of unpleasantness or disgust or something.
It could be easily misinterpreted, and you take it personally. Yeah.
Pardon?
It could be misinterpreted. It's actually your BO or your breath, but you think it's what you just said.
Yeah, I think it has something to do with what it just said, or with how they feel about me or something like that as a person. And that's kind of what I'm trying to – that's another way of communicating what I was talking about.
Yeah, that's a nice analogy, Don, because you would be exactly wrong. If somebody was not telling you had bad breath, it's because they care about you and the relationship and they don't want to rock the boat. And they don't think they can make a difference, and they just want to put up with it because they just want to be around you. They're afraid you won't talk to them anymore if they tell you, you know, you have bad breath and I can't stand it when you open your mouth. So you'll come up to them and you realize, wait, I didn't brush my teeth recently. I better not talk. And they don't want that. So you're exactly wrong. They actually love you and want you to interact with you, but they don't know how to do it. It's love. But it looks like, you know, right? So the ego gets that backwards. Yeah. Yeah. Communication is handled really nicely.
So when Michelle comes, when I experience,
mm-hmm.
when I experience her kind of coming sideways
yep.
at me, it's like mystifying. If I can notice my reaction and step back, because what will happen is I'll feel triggered.
Uh-huh.
And then I'll be like, what the hell's going on?
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm willing to notice that I have a reaction and then step back, there's room for true understanding or love that even behind, no matter what her motive was.
No matter what she said her motive was, your challenge is to step back and join her. Not get her to join you or certainly not to defend yourself. You know, that's going to be backwards. Your challenge in that moment is to join her. What seems like crazy or angry or loud or what have you, or something that she said 14 times in a row in the last 2 days, I think you mentioned that once. You know, as it kind of does that. You know, it's time for you to make number 15 really count. And open your heart and join with her. I think you'll find that if you can give her a safe place and just send her some love in whatever form it turns out, you know, she just needs somebody to do her a favor that day. Right? You know, and then she'll start to relax and feel like she's in love, you know, near love, near somebody, something that is loving without having to respond to it. Then she'll start to relax and she'll get comfortable and put down her anxiety or her, what appears like maybe even attacks on you.
Okay.
But that's Miracle Principle 8, which says those who temporarily have more give to those who temporarily have less. And temporarily might be many weeks. It just means time. You do see that they're capable of being loving and peaceful. You do see that about them. But you also know that you would rather choose peace than do anything else. So what does it take to bring the relationship back to peace? That must be your immediate priority. Don't try to imagine what it'll look like later. You set the goal before you talk with her and say, this is going to be peaceful. It's going to be loving, understanding. I'm going to be able to tell my truth. She's going to be able to tell her truth. And whichever of us needs to tell it more, we'll get to tell it more. It's not a competition. This is, the unequal levels of energy that get equalized. You don't know. She doesn't know how much you need. Sometimes you need more because you're hurting. But you can see she can't afford to give you what you need. So you need to make a space where both can be served. And this is where you join with her interests. And eventually she'll want to join with yours. Once she gets herself back in love, back in a safe space, then she'll start to seek join, get more, because you gave her a safe space that she couldn't find anyplace else, and you're the hero. And now she wants to put you in a safe space so you can continue, and you guys start swirling around a sense of trust again, and it's a wonderful thing. But the ego just does the exact opposite, as you know. Okay, so just before we go on, jump back in the book, the magic is looking to the world, that the world would influence you either by victimhood or by favor. And a miracle is recognizing that you influence you either by harm or by favor. That the world is a script that's already written, physical form, and it does not affect your happiness. It affects your body's well-being. But this is not your priority as you're on a spiritual journey. You're waking up from being a body, from being a victim to a body in world circumstances. The magic says you have no choice. The world dictates how you feel. The miracle says no, you dictate how you feel. It's a shift in perception about anything that crosses your mind. It is all an extension of your thinking one way or another. So it's said 100,000 different ways, but on the simplest, magic comes in and the miracle goes out. Magic comes in to affect you, and the miracle is your mind is now going out and seeing differently, giving you the source is connected to you. Magic is the source is disconnected from you and you're a victim. Miracle is it is connected to you and you're never a victim. You live your thoughts. This is the basis of a miracle. And your thoughts are love. That is what you are from where you came. Therefore, all things you can imagine actually are based in love. And with the Holy Spirit and the miracle in tow, you can successfully, in a chain of events of forgiveness and miracles, you can redefine everything that you appear to see or think or ever did. This is healing your mind. When you've done that a few times, really seriously, you've done some serious undoing, then you get what you were describing, Tim, which is this sense of well-being that nothing can get you. That's a holy instant. Was that Dawn?
What do I have to be concerned about?
Yeah.
Well, you said it yourself, Andrew. Make it a toy. Play with it in a healthy, spiritual, loving way. Amuse yourself. So let's, you know, look at this.
Yeah.
It appears to be thus. Let's see what we can do with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Just like the creator that you actually are. You can have a problem with it, or you can have a solution with it. You can have more darkness with it, or you can invite light with it, whatever it is. So that's the challenge.
Tiananmen, you know, was asked and shocked a lot of his audience. You know, somebody asked him, can the whole world come to an end in 400 years' time or 4,000 years' time? Yeah, well, absolutely, yes. Yeah.
I mean, it started so many years ago.
Hey, Tim.
That's one of the options.
Tim, this is a technical thing. I just discovered something a few minutes ago because your audio is so kind of broken up and weak and stuff.
Right.
I put on captions. I initiated captions, and now when you're talking, I just put the captions right underneath your chin, and I hear what you're saying.
How is the caption software doing at capturing my text to speech?
It's great. It's really, really, really good. It even corrects. It even starts to do something, and then it corrects. It's beautiful. Yeah, it's under. It's right there at the bottom of my screen. Captions.
You can also right click on it before the meeting is closed. And you can see where the file is. You can store the file on your hard drive, and you can just read the meeting. And it has each person's name and what they said.
Oh, wow.
On a file.
And sometimes when I listen to somebody give a Dharma talk whose English is not their first language, then, Don, what you're saying will come to the rescue.
How do you do that, Andrew?
You just right-click on the captions, and you'll see Save File.
So I go down to go right on the caption.
Down where you turn captions on.
Okay.
Where is that?
Oh, I see. Yeah, okay. Yeah. View full transcript.
Yeah, and if you hit view full transcript, then you will see.
Scroll along the right side.
Yes.
Oh, and then save transcript.
And at that point, when you save transcript, it'll go to your hard drive.
Oh, my goodness. Great.
Yeah, I did that once. It was kind of fun. You could kind of read through the meeting in this.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Jeez, that's good. Okay.
Last night's meeting, you'll have heard us calling Don Daddy Warbucks. Because of his haircut, and he shared with us that in fact he was cast as that character once upon a time.
Yeah, I was.
He could still successfully be cast as that character.
I'm going to have to get some brown stuff. I'm going to have to make eyebrows, you know, because that really does it.
You're on your way. Go to page 477, group paragraph 4.
Okay.
We are continuing through the wonderful section, the branching of the road. and where you would actually make the choice that you've been trained to make.
What page, I'm sorry?
477.
Oh, yes, that's right.
This is a wonderful, wonderful section. And now he's kind of coaching us on to faith it. Faith it till you make it. How good could it be for you to actually see the loveliness of somebody else who might look really ugly to you?
Well, that's what you were talking about with me. That's exactly what you were talking about, you know? Yeah. And I pray, geez, I really pray to I want that to happen in life, of course.
This paragraph is that prayer.
Okay.
Okay, Ross, read for us paragraph 4, please, on 477.
Think of the loveliness that you will see who walk with him, and think how beautiful will you and your brother look to the other. How happy you will be to be together after such a long, lonely journey where you walked alone. The gates of heaven open now for you. Will you now open to the sorrowful and none who looks upon the Christ in you, but will rejoice? How beautiful the sight you saw beyond the veil, which you will bring to light the tired eyes of those as weary now as once you were. How thankful will they be to see you come among them, offering Christ's forgiveness to dispel their faith in sin.
So there it is, Don, just as we were talking about you and Michelle.
Yeah.
How thankful will they be to see you come among them, offering Christ's forgiveness to dispel their faith in sin. Whatever worry they had, whatever consternation, whatever hell they were going through, you were a solid light and gave them a safe place. And they begin to translate for themselves, it's not as bad as I think.
And all that comes from a change in my mind.
A change in your mind, you bet. You go away from a sense of littleness, a sense of defensiveness, a sense of being misunderstood, a sense of anger, fear, guilt, judgment. And you bring the light. You bring the light that Jesus would bring, Buddha would bring, in that same conversation. Why? Because they have a bigger perspective. The same bigger perspective that you actually have now, because you've been studying this enough, you said, nah, I'm starting to see the big picture. And now I'm going to live it. And this is how you live it. Yep. Good. So now you in the twisted way, this happened to me. I do these Course in Miracles lessons and I start to think, wow, I got to try this. Is this really work? And I say, bring it on. Bring it on, Valerie. She had a girlfriend I had was quite challenging at times. Wonderful, Valerie. Okay. Luann, would you read for us, Luann, paragraph 5.
I want to say one thing to Don. Andrew was listening. When you have a sense of this and when you have a sense of that, what I know for myself is when I have any kind of a sense that doesn't feel good, then that's when I need to stop and say, okay, what's going on in my thinking right now? Every mistake you and your brother make, the other will gently... something or other. Every mistake you and your brother make, your other will have gently corrected. For in his sight, your loveliness is his salvation, which he would protect from harm. And you will be your brother's strong protector from everything that seems to rise between you both. So shall you walk the world with me, whose message has not yet been given everyone. For you are here to let it be received. God's offer still is open, yet it waits acceptance. From you who have accepted it, it is received. And to your hands, joined with your brothers, is it safely given. For you who share it have become its willing guardian and protector. And I have a circle around that word me in line 4. And I'm wondering why it's not capitalized.
Because it's referring to Jesus.
Oh, and he's a person just like we are.
Yeah.
Okay. I think I've asked you that a couple of times, and you give me the same damn answer every time.
I don't mind. Yeah. Miracles aren't holy, and Jesus is not divine. Yeah, I don't mind telling you these horrible, blasphemous things. I would get hung or put on a cross or.
I think of Jesus in terms of being the first person to enter Christhood.
Yeah. If Jesus, he wouldn't be insulted, he'd be disappointed if you said, oh, you're God. He says, we're God. What do you mean I'm God?
I don't think of Christ as being God either. I think of Christ as being like God, and that it's an extension of God.
An extension of God. Therefore, it is God. It's not all of God. It's 100% God, but it's not God.
Okay.
But it's 100% God.
You love making me a little bit confused, don't you?
Well, I mean, that's when you feel like you need a miracle.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then you kind of open your mind a little bit and say, well, how can it be not God and yet 100% of God? I don't get it. I hope you're challenging yourself with asking for the miracle to understand that, because there's a spiritual awakening right there.
Yeah.
Those few words.
Unless you think about it.
Yeah.
If I think about it, I get in trouble.
Figured out.
But you feel it, right? Without understanding it, I think you feel it.
Yeah.
And that's what I want you to do, is chase that feeling to an understanding. And that's what light is. You're calling for the miracle. You're calling for the light. You feel it before you can think it. And you give yourself the gift by having the Holy Spirit, whatever words or experience or thoughts or visions that come to you as you pursue your opening of your mind, there's your miracle. And then your holy instant is just waiting for you.
The one time I know I had an absolute miracle was when I was trying to send love to my brother. And I tried and I tried and I thought, you know, this, I'm never going to be able to do this. I can't do it. So I gave up. But I said, but I do want to do it.
Yeah. That was the miracle. Because despite all of the history and the difficulty, you just rested with, I want to do, I don't know how, but I want to. And in that purity of thought, there was an undoing of even need to do it.
Yeah. And I knew I had done it in that moment.
That moment.
And what were you desiring, Luann?
I wanted to send love to my brother through my mind rather than send him a card or something.
Could join in person. You can't do it physically. Backfires every time. Yeah. Yep. That's a miracle. Absolutely. So look at this paragraph telling you in poetic terms that the healed mind is powerful and contagious, and Jesus is available to go with you through these uncertain, dark pathways as you reach for healing. Every mistake you make, your brother will gently have, as in past term, corrected for you. How does that work? Like with Michelle and Don. If Don was successful for 1 day, 2 days, 3 days in a row, let's say, it takes time in this world, in this ego world. Everything takes time. That's part of the magic of the world. Your body is magic, that this could be your house. Let's say Don and Michelle successfully did, Don did Miracle Principle 8. He had temporarily had more, and he sucked it up. And he kept giving to Michelle. And Michelle managed to work some things out in his presence, and he gave her a safe space. And she began to feel more comfortable with him. And her energy of defense went down, and her energy of appreciation somehow went up. Even just quietness She felt more comfortable being quiet around him, and he could feel the difference, let's say. And that went on for 1, 2, 3 days. And Michelle's thinking, she didn't even know probably what happened. She just knows she's a little more comfortable at home with Don. This is how it happens.
More at peace.
More at peace, exactly. More at peace. Not even sure. And then Don blows it on day three. He just says the exact wrong thing. But Michelle, according to this paragraph, is in such a state she does not feel the slight or hear it even. She overlooks it. That's what forgiveness is, right? To overlook an error. She overlooks it automatically. Why? Because she's literally in love. She's literally joining with him out of a sense of comfort and security and belongingness. All the things you get with a holy relationship. So that's what that sentence means. Every mistake you make, your brother, in this case Michelle, will gently have corrected for you in her mind. The key is you also have to let it be corrected. And you don't go on just defending yourself and making a big problem out of a mistake. For in your brother's sight, your loveliness, Don, is Michelle's salvation, which he would protect from harm. Keep it. And you will be your brother's strong protector from everything that seems to rise between you above. So shall you walk the world with me. Me is, in this case, Jesus, or the healed mind, the healed body-mind, Jesus, whose message has not yet been given everyone. Bodhisattva vow. For you are here to let it be received. God's offer is still open, yet it waits acceptance. From you who have accepted it, is it received? And that's the beautiful circle, how contagious patience, honesty is, how contagious tolerance is in a special relationship, how contagious the truth is, and vulnerability is, defenselessness is. How contagious gentleness is, even when she pointed her finger right at you, said her favorite phrase she know gets you going, and your eyes just go soft. And you say, tell me more about how this makes it so difficult. This is not what I want to do. It's not how I want to be. She says, what, are you going to defend yourself? I just called you. No, I know we can be more loving to each other, and I'm doing it now. And you get patient, tolerant. You get a little more joyful because you're not working so hard to defend yourself, which is just ugly and failing so often in the special relationship. And you take a risk and you get honest. You take a risk, you get honest. Well, then you know what she does? After she takes advantage of you, of course, being the ego she is. She then takes a risk and she gets honest with you. And now the dances start to move into something that is more sharing and more holy, as in sharing. So it's from you who have accepted, is it received? Into your hand, joined with your brothers, is it safely given? Beautiful circle. For you who share it, have become its willing guardian and protector. Now you're sharing the confidence that there is another way. And that becomes a very precious thing in your relationship. So that's how it's done. That's what we're leading ourselves to. And we're just undoing the ego all along the way. And you become stronger and happier and more joyful in what was difficult circumstances, because those are the circumstances where the miracles are now. Any situation of discomfort, that's where you're going to find the miracle. Do you want to see it in print? It's at page 595, paragraph 12. Let's read that. I just love that paragraph. 5-9.
If you can stop doing what you normally do that's irritating the other person for long enough, then they realize that they can stop being irritating to you.
Yeah. And it's kind of helpful if you can get open enough and not defensive enough so that you can hear them tell you what's irritating them.
Mm-hmm.
Tim, can you read for us paragraph 12 on 595?
Certainly. This world is full of miracles. They stand in shining silence next to every dream of pain and suffering, of sin and guilt. They are the dream's alternative, the choice to be the dreamer, rather than deny the active role in making up the dream. They are the glad effects of taking back the consequence of sickness to its cause. The body is released because the mind acknowledges this is not done to me, but I am doing this. Thus the mind is free to make another choice instead. Beginning here, salvation will proceed to change the course of every step from the descent to separation until all the steps have been retraced. The ladder gone, the dreaming of the world undone.
A Course in Miracles in one paragraph. And then, Don, just for kicks, read us paragraph 11 now. Oh, go ahead, Ross.
So, where it said, but I am doing this, the mind acknowledges this is not done to me, but I am doing this. So, an example, I'm standing on the ski slope and a guy comes flying over our head and lands a foot next to my friend, right? And of course I'm like, what the, you know, WTF, what are you doing? And, you know, this and that. And he says, oh, well, you know, I told you that I told you to get out of the way from 100 yards away. So you needed to move out of the way, and proceeded to tell us how it was all our fault. And so when you step back again, like I was saying earlier, and say, this is not done to me, but I am doing this. I put that character in my dream. I also put the Ross character in the dream. That's how perfect this is. How I get sucked in until I start thinking about the toolbox that I have and say, wait a minute, this is a trick.
Even if you can't see that picture that you put that character on the ski slope and you put your character in that certain skis and on that ski slope, the particular, if you can't see that, you sure as hell can see that at that moment when he opened his mouth and said, you should have moved. And you're like, well, I should have moved. That moment, you did all of that. Any energy that comes out of you that's not understanding, that's defensive, or objection, or victimized,
yep,
you sure as hell did that. And you just ruined your peace.
Yep.
Now, you're right. The bigger picture is that you're not a victim to anything at all, even the mountain. Yeah, that's how you move mountains.
Ski patrol and told him, you know, and then he said, oh, now you're a snitch. And, you know, and then I talked to the ski patrol at the top of the lift and said, hey, you know, you might want to keep an eye on that because he's going to do something else. And he's like, well, you know, if he didn't see you below. And I'm like, no, that's not what it was. And I'm like, you know what? I just need to let this go because it's just getting more and more convoluted.
Yeah, you can go to the ski patrol out of an active joining for more happiness for everybody. Because, you know, if you'd been 1 foot over, that guy's day would have been ruined. Because both of you are going to the hospital. Or he's maybe going to the police and you're going to the hospital for questioning, you know. Not, you know, so if you can avoid things like, you know, if a stop sign gets knocked over, stop signs really do, they serve. We expect to have to stop, and we don't expect to stop when there's no stop sign. We drive right through. So if I saw a stop sign leaning over, I would stop my car and go put the damn thing back up for everybody else's benefit as well as mine. You go to ski patrol, or you can go to ski patrol out of vengeance. And try to satisfy your ego, which I don't, sounds like you did not do.
No, no, I was a little, you know, I was calmer, more
peaceful. Yeah, yeah.
At that point, because I had already beaten up. By the way, the guy was right in front of us on the ski lift.
So there's a branching in a road right there.
Yep.
And which route are you going to go? You're still going to do the exact same thing, which is talk to the ski patrol.
Right.
Because in your heart of hearts, that's the right thing to do. But your ego says, well, we could get a little extra juice out of this. We try to get him kicked out or whatever your ego would do. But so I'm saying is that you don't have to change your life. You don't have to become some kind of a monk sitting in a cave where nothing happens to you. That probably would not be as effective as continuing to live your life in your body in time and space. But calling on the idea of the Holy Spirit to help you drive.
And again, I know I've said this, but getting on to it quicker and quicker.
Amen.
To where
Amen.
There's no, or maybe, you know, I'm hoping for a momentary, hey, wait a minute, this is a trick moment. And instantly.
Yes, Ross. It happens quicker and quicker.
Rather than getting into any kind of what you're telling us, it's our problem, and reacting to that and just catching it even sooner and sooner and sooner and sooner.
Look, I mean, I think you already know this, but I'll just say it. This whole miracles and forgiveness thing and choosing peace thing,
yes,
is very much like a new addiction. The more you learn that it works, the more of it you want. And the easier it gets, because you just get sick and tired of being sick and tired and angry.
Yeah, Ajay talks about, you're going to go in the washing machine again?
Yeah, right.
Another spin through the cycle? Okay, well, let me know how it goes.
Yeah, you lose your appetite for being bounced around.
To the soil again and, you know, get to your...
You know, I love what you said about no matter what happens, how we react is our responsibility.
Yes.
Yep.
And if we react in a egoic form, we're going to get an egoic response.
Amen, sister.
In a loving form, then the person has a chance to turn around and love us back.
You got it. Beautiful. Don, read for us paragraph 11 real quick, then we'll go back to our reading.
The miracle returns the cause of fear to you who made it.
Whoa! What? Say that again, just for fun.
The miracle returns the cause of fear to you who made it.
Do you see the circle? This is how the mind works. Please continue.
But it also shows that having no effects, it is not cause, because the function of causation is to have effects.
Sounds like an illusion to me.
And where effects are gone, there is no cause. Thus is the body healed by miracles, because they show the mind made sickness and employed the body to be victim or effect of what it made. Yet half the lesson will not teach the whole. The miracle is useless if you learn but that the body can be healed. For this is not the lesson it was sent to teach. The lesson, the lesson is the mind was sick that thought the body could be sick. Projecting out its guilt caused nothing and had no effects. That's good. Right now, that's mind-boggling to me, I have to say. It's mind-boggling right here.
Pretty meaty stuff, pretty big words. But remember, A Course in Miracles deals with your mind. Always pointing you back to where you actually live, not to where your ego thinks you live. Good, good, good.
You know, back to what I think when Luann last talked, I was thinking, you know, when I'm triggered, if I have the presence of mind, well, first of all, notice I'm feeling and I'm not happy, not feeling loved or loving.
Notice.
If I then just say, if I just then really want to be in love, feel loved, feel loving, feel happy, if I just right in that moment just say, I want to feel happy and loved here. Mm-hmm. I want to feel like a lover right here. Uh-huh. And I mean that in the biggest sense.
Yep.
The words don't matter as much as the true heartful sincerity, heart communication to myself in a way.
Yes.
Then I think I can imagine in an instant a change would occur.
And you get with the benefit of being sincere and honest that you actually want to be in love and you're not going to follow the hate that your ego's presenting. You're just dropping it. You're forgiving it, letting it go, and you're going back to the idea of being in love. And you're not saying a word, but it's happening inside. So you get the benefit of the reflection of your mind on your face. Your eyebrows aren't starting to furrow. She's watching for that. And it's not happening. Your shoulders aren't going up like this, like you're ready to yell. Not happening. But all that you can't fake. By choosing peace, you'll get peace and you'll feel it and you'll feed on it. And that's why I was saying to Ross that the more you try this, you faith it till you make it. The more you try choosing peace, you end up feeling peaceful. If you actually do choose the peace, you'll see that I made it. I didn't fight back. I didn't get afraid. I didn't argue. I didn't feel guilty. And I made it. Here I am now, 15, 20 minutes, days, hours later, and I'm fine. I think I'll do it again. In fact, bring it on. I'm going to be a peace addict. And it's self-proving just that way. Your whole world starts to change because you're no longer stirring it up with, you know, anger thoughts and stuff like that. Let's try another paragraph. Ross, would you give us paragraph 5?
Are we back to 477?
Or? Oh, yeah. Sorry. 478 now. Correct.
478.
You can go to 477, but you're going to turn to 478 to get to paragraph 5.
I think is it 6?
Andrew, can I say something?
Yeah, sure.
Would it help at all? Sometimes finding peace when you're in a situation in which you've been hurt badly or whatever is hard to do. But would it work if you just said, "I don't know how to find peace, but that's what I'm going to do."
Yes. Absolutely. And the quicker you say that, the better.
Because it feels to me like if you say that, it's almost like saying to the Holy Spirit, I don't know how to do this, but I do trust that you know how to do it for me.
You bet. Some of the biggest invitation to the Holy Spirit is, I do not know. Because the ego is only secure by thinking it already knows. What do you got, Tim?
You must, in fact, say, I don't know how. You must say, it is my intent that matters, not my knowledge. My knowledge does not contribute to the nature of reality. It's simply my decision. I would have it be so. And because of who we are as an extension of the mind of God, the power that is conferred along with being an extension of the mind of God is such that intent is all it takes. Not the knowledge, not the wherewithal, just the intent. And the easy model for that is, I want the light in a dark room to come on. All I need to do is flip the light switch on the wall. I don't have to know how the wiring is done, how light bulbs work. I don't have to know about the Hoover Dam and spillways and all that. All I got to do is just say, I would like the light to come on, and so therefore I symbolize that by flipping this light switch up.
And the light switch may sound like this when you throw it. I am here only to be truly helpful. I'm here to represent him who sent me, not my ego's agenda.
That is so, in a sense, calling on your Holy Spirit is like saying, switching on a light.
You bet.
If I may.
That's how I see it, Luann. So, I mean, thank you for sharing that.
If I may, I was going to add this after Luann spoke before, and then now Tim's throwing in his the words that go with his thinking. And it reminds me of several decades ago when my oldest sister, now passed, was alive, but it was recovering in the hospital from a little surgery. I visited her, and she's sitting on the bed. And I started to bring up a grievance I'd had about how she'd handle a trust we shared. I wasn't yelling or anything like that, but I was saying, you know, I don't really think that was a good idea. And she said, here she is sitting on the edge of the bed. And me being, I guess, quite an asshole at that point, am kind of casually bringing up this problem. And she says, oh, I think I did just the right thing. And I felt my ire rise. And I had touched base with Course in Miracles, but I wasn't a student of it. But I had read Eckhart Tolle, or however you say it. And for some reason, when that happened and I started feeling angry, by the grace of God, I turned as if to go sit in a chair, and I asked myself out of just spontaneously, what does my soul want? And as soon as I said that, I just said, what does my soul want? My ire went away. My interest in talking about the issue was gone. And I sat down, and looking at her now, we just started chatting about, we just started engaging in a loving connection. So I guess the point, the reason I'm sharing this is because here we had three different, probably even more, ways of inviting a change of mind. And I wanted to throw in another. It's like it happens, I guess, by truly giving up, you know, giving up the agenda somehow, giving up in whatever way it happens, a sincere willingness, and it happens.
Giving up what's not important and picking up what is.
And it'll happen to you. It comes because it's right there waiting, right?
Because it's right there waiting.
It's right there waiting. What is that thing that the spirit just steps back and silently waits or something?
Yeah.
There's a quote. I'm not good at that, but.
That's right.
Anyway, I guess I like offering that because it takes it just so shares how universal it is and how simple, you know, it is and how it's just adjoining. It's in everybody's heart.
It's amazing how simple it is, Don. That's why I say by practicing it like you just described, you think back on it and go, that really worked for the long term. Maybe the short term, I didn't get the trust thing exactly nailed the way I wanted to, but the long-term benefit here is fantastic. I brought light into darkness.
Yeah.
And you get that becomes a habit. And so this indeed is a habit you want, and choose peace, and then you will get a peaceful experience. So power just got wiped out here. I'm on UPS backup, so all this is fake energy right now. It's going to drop out any minute. Okay. Thank you for studying A Course in Miracles with me. Let's do it again next week.
Thank you all.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Okay. One, two, three, poof.